Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
All right, we are live with the Saturday panel. You're all right, lads. Don't worry about it. David Brady, you're a key part of our intro now to the Saturday panel. Any word of Jim McGuinness been down with the boys or up in trees and keeping an eye on Kieran Donaghy?
Rochford still hasn't met Jim McGuinness, and that's a fact.
You have the phone beside you, though, just in case message comes through from the camp.
Know. Well, as the two boys I have to my left and right, you wouldn't know what kind of scuds would be flying, so yeah.
Well, we have a 6-time All-Ireland winner, Darragh O'Shea, 5-time All-Ireland winner, Declan O'Sullivan, and Mayo legend.
And yourself.
Mayo legend, David Brady. That's worth any amount of All-Ireland medals, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't have room for them.
We are looking ahead to tomorrow's All-Ireland football semi-final. We're going to go back as well, maybe to 06 and that final. I'm sure it's not something you want to talk about too much, David, but we had a lot of the Tyrone and Armagh lads in a couple of weeks ago talking about their rivalry, and Mayo and Kerry met 3 years in a row, 04, 05, 06. You never really think of that period, though, as being one of the great rivalries. You always think of the Kerry-Tyrone rivalry of that era being the one that really got you fired up.
Mayo's rivalry has been kind of there before that, I'd say, because I was one of the few members of the panel here. I'd say David was injured the same day that she beat us in 96, back in the semi-final
right.
In 96, yeah, so that's going way back. That rivalry's been there. People take it for granted, I suppose, but the fact that Kerry have come out on top on most occasions in the bigger games. But I think tomorrow is a slightly different. I think every team is different, but this Mayo team at the minute, and I'm not talking him up because at this stage, a lot of people are kind of getting fed up with people talking up Mayo, but the reality of it is you just don't talk this Mayo team up because they've talked themselves up. They should have beaten Dublin 2 years ago in the drawn game. They should have beaten them last year in the drawn game and probably in the replay. Should have beaten Kerry in. So they're probably the most consistent team in the country over the last 5 or 6 year period, and a semi-final beating Kerry won't even do them tomorrow. If they're looking at the final, they're looking at winning the All-Ireland, and it's probably, you know, we keep saying it every year, it's coming to last chance saloon, because they came through kind of a difficult period this year. They weren't playing so good, and now I felt they've found a bit of form in the last game, and they're just hitting the ground at the right time.
David, when you think back 10, 11 years ago, the 06 final in particular, after the way you beat Dublin in the semi-final, did it feel, after what happened in the 04 final and the 05 quarter final, as if this was a culmination of a big rivalry with that group of Kerry players?
You know what, and I've always kind of said it, that when we were playing the Kerry boys, I don't think we hated them enough. You know, rivalry means there's an intensity there, or there's a hate, an underlying hatred. I don't know, is this, you know.
Who did you hate? The Galway lads for going and winning All Ireland.
Yeah, that was. Look, I don't know that we hate anyone in Mayo, to be honest with you.
Too nice.
You're a lover, David. You're a lover.
Not a fighter. Yeah, it's like I went toe to toe with Dara like 22, 23 years ago in the 21 finals, and it was. Now, I never fell out with him, but I wouldn't have. You know, you'd always personally put yourself up against your opposition, your opposing marker first. I know, look at the county and what it represents then does bring something into it, but I can't say it was it's not as good as rivalry as you want, because you don't feckin' beat them. That's when they're rivalry. You know, when you do, like, it's 21 years. Like, and it's and I know, like, we can say tomorrow is not about the bigger picture, but for me, it's a massive, massive step in every direction forward for Mayo. If you can beat a team that you haven't met in Championship, you might meet them once, twice, three times in 10 years, but you have to beat them. And if you're going to win All-Ireland, and if you're going to get over the line, you have to beat the Currys and the Dublins of this world. And again, the Tyrones. And we bet Tyrone last year, but if you're going into an All-Ireland final, I haven't beaten a Kerry team, you're on the front foot. If you beat a Mayo team the last 6 years in a row, you win the All-Ireland final. Anyone that's bet us has won the All-Ireland final. So that's it's tomorrow, the All-Ireland final. We'll say no more.
Declan, 2006, you were Kerry captain that year. Sort of a strange year, was it, for you? So you lose the Munster final to Cork. Were you booed off the pitch? Was there...
I don't know, to be honest. We were going poorly all that year. We struggled against Waterford and Killarney. Then we went up to Cork, and anytime you lose to Cork, there's always an outcry in Kerry, you know, and we just couldn't get firing. And then I was taken off. I think they were just happy to see me go, I'd say, at that stage. So I don't know, Sean Sullivan came out of that stage, and it was a strange summer for me. I mean, you know, when you're Kerry captain, I had been captain in 05 as well, and we lost to Tyrone in the final, so I thought that was my chance gone. So then 06 came along and I was captain again, so I really wanted to get the chance to get back up to Croke Park, but it was looked like it was going wrong, you know, that year for me.
Were you feeling the pressure of the captaincy?
I suppose I was very young, you know, I was 21 when I was Kerry captain in 05, and then obviously when you lose an All-Ireland final, the following year is always difficult because there's a lot of scrutiny, a lot of criticism flying around during the winter time, and I probably was to a certain extent, but look, in general, the whole team was going poorly. I think it was a bit like, you know, how maybe Mayo has gone.
Speak for yourself, Declan. Now, I was going well enough.
I remember the Munster final down in Cork. I think myself and Dara had a few words out in the middle of the field at some stage during the game as well. So things were
Who was doing the talking? Him or you?
We'd be two good men to go at it. We wouldn't hold back. So I'd say it was a bit flying both ways. I'd say
well, there was a crowd around. It could have got worse.
What was the expectancy on you as the captain? Did you say you were one of the younger members of the squad? You've got Dara, you've got Tomás there, you've got Seamus Moynihan, you've got all these vastly experienced players. Is there an automatic expectation that because you're the captain you need to show more leadership, or
no, I think there's no expectancy as such, and as I got older I passed on this bit of nuggets of advice to any young fella that became captain. Kieran Lee, I was captain when I was older in the squad, and there is no expectancy because you have so many experienced people inside the dressing room and the management. But look, you're a young fella, you grow up thinking the captain is supposed to be all things to all people, and you have this idea in your head what a captain is supposed to do, so you're trying to live up to those expectations yourself. But the group around you is not looking for anyone to be banging the table beforehand or anything like that. Like, my attitude is that if you're a captain, you have to go out and do your business on the field and lead by example rather than lead by words. So it was just more of an internal thing for myself, I think, more than anything else.
Was it I remember reading Jack O'Connor's book, and Jacko kind of highlighted the pressure that was it the fact that, you know, he was manager, you were captain, he kind of sensed that pressure in his book as well.
Yeah, there's a close association, myself and Jack, same club. You know, I would have seen him as, you know, a big, you know, he gave me a lot of advice and mentored me, I suppose, through school games, club games, all that type of stuff. So there was a very close association, and you know, I think that played a part in the summer of 06 as well, you know.
Oh, he said it himself, he was after that final whistle when he met yourself for Man City, you came eyeball to eyeball. It was and there are special moments too, you know, when you have your club manager, your club mentor and everything else as your sideline manager.
Would you have met up much away from the Kerry camp?
I suppose not a huge amount, but around that time, I know, like, Jesus, that time in Kerry there was rumours flying around about this, that and the other thing, so he would have pulled me aside and you know, we'd have talked through it a bit, like, but you know, at the end of the day, I knew myself that the only way you could get out of this is play well in training and try to work my way back bit by bit if I got an opportunity in games to come on and try to do well. And I kind of parked the job that summer, and I really went just into complete focus and tried to play well in training and try earn my spot back that way. But you know, he would have been good to a point, but then other times I'd say, look, just leave me alone, and I'd try, you know, drive on myself.
Were there any particular moments where you turned it around that summer, having lost to Tyrone the previous year, the defeat to Cork in the Munster final, you're heading into an All-Ireland quarter final with Armagh, was there always an expectation that this was going to come right?
We were coming from it had to come right somewhere, because I mean, we should have been beaten by Waterford. I mean, Declan is talking about the Cork game. We were shocking in Killarney against Waterford, and you look back at it now, you're laughing. But we had lots of rumours in Kerry, and they always come out, but I always found those rumours good, because I mean, you get away with blue murder then when the rumours are going around, because nobody knows what's true and what's not true, so you can be working under the radar then. But
how much truth was there in the rumours?
There was always, I used to find with the rumours you could add to them, because it'd make it better, and like if the more ridiculous it became, then it runs out of steam itself.
Would it just be the lads were out in the lash?
No, it wasn't. It was fellas arguing, it was fellas this fellas and talking to that fella, and there's burst ups inside in training and all kind of stuff. I mean, drink didn't come into it, because because I mean there was no kind of such thing as you know, all that stuff would have been done in house at the time, but it wasn't we were just playing badly, we weren't yeah. playing well, and it was just coming off the back of a season before. You see, we were on the road a while as well. We'd been in the final in 04 05, this was 06, so we were kind of we were flying high and low and whatnot, so it's very hard to get a mix right, and that's why I think like that it's in the last, since the qualifiers came in, it's getting your timing, your run right. And I think Mayo have got it right this year. I mean, if you looked at Mayo in the Connacht Championship, and I was comparing ourselves in that time, we were so flat with the quality of players that we had on the field. Like, I mean, that team in 06 was probably as good a team as I played on across the board, we'll say, quality of player wise. And as well as that, it's not just the quality of player, but the players at their peak, you know, fellas coming in, Mike McCarthy, Tom O'Sullivan, Mark O'Shea, you know, you've got Kieran Donnie, you've got Cullen Cooper, you've got Declan Sullivan, you've got all these players, probably some of the best players that ever played the game coming, but we weren't all kicking at the same time. We had different fellas in different stages of form, and we weren't kicking, but we went through qualifiers and we started playing a bit better. Kieran Donnie went in full forward. Everyone was saying that it was their idea. I nearly claimed it myself at one stage. But it was funny, but like it started clicking then, and it started getting the goals. And then what happened was basically football training became more enjoyable. There was a competitive edge to it, and we started winning games at pace. Then there was more pace to the football. You know it yourself. If there's a buzz, if there's a bite in training, if there's a buzz in training, we knew ourselves it was coming right, and it was, and we were hitting the ground. Even hitting the final, we knew we were in a good place. We weren't sure where Mayo were coming from. Mayo had a big win against Dublin the same year, and they weren't in the high of that, and probably worked against them in so far as that Dublin were really fancied, and Mayo put themselves in a spotlight that they didn't want to. They were working well under the radar, and I think, you know, that kind of suited us. But look, we just caught fire. And
I think as well, when you lose a final, the following year you just want to fast forward to the big games, you know, the Munster Championship games, don't get the juices flowing, a bit like Mayo last year in the final, and those players weren't going to get up for Connacht Championship games. They want to fast forward, get back up to Croke Park and prove a point, and I think that was with us in 06. We'd lost in 05 to Tyrone, and I think we just couldn't get the juices flowing, and then the big game started to come, and we could see, you know, the end of the line coming, and you know, got us all going, and we took off from there.
It's very hard, we'll say that, and this is a new system, and it comes up about this, the Super 8s and all this kind of crack next year. But like, you look at, if you put just Mayo a case in point at the moment, you put Mayo, go back a couple of weeks ago to the Cork game, and you're saying, right, Cork's form is so bad. If you're just weighing it up in form, Cork's form is so bad. So Mayo play them, struggle to get over them. And are Mayo contenders right after that game, after extra time? No way, you say. Now all of a sudden, they got through the other games, they got through Roscommon. All of a sudden, they hit a bit of form against Roscommon. Now they're in a semi-final with a real chance of playing in the final again. Because why? Because they have All-Ireland form. So like Declan's saying there, Munster Championships and Connacht Championships don't really play to form. So when you get to Croke Park, different game.
It's incredible we're still talking about Kieran Donaghy 11 years on, and from when he really came to life in that game and he destroyed Armagh. When did you play minor with Donaghy?
Yeah, I did. He was on the minor panel when I was there, but I mean, you know, you'd hear about a lot of players, but Donaghy kind of came in under the radar a bit. He came into our panel late that year. You know, he wasn't seen as, you know, and Kerry, they'd be looking from a young age about natural footballers and this type of thing. And he'd say it himself, he didn't have great interest in football, you know, when he was 12, 13. Basketball obviously was his first love, probably still is. But he just, great size. And the great thing about him, he had great personality and great enthusiasm. And even, you know, his goal, I think the last day against Galway, has really shown him, like, he comes in, he has these great couple of years where everything works for him, and then he goes through a bad period, but he continues to work in his game. He wouldn't have used his left leg, you know, back in 2006.
With his left leg.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, he only started kicking with his left leg, I'd say, 2 or 3 years ago, you know what I mean? So he just kept developing and developing, and then he gets the reward. So that's the type of character he is. So just, he's consistently developed his game, you know?
I think the 06 final is the one that hurts the most for a lot of Mayo people, because there was a touch of humiliation off it, almost, that so much of the talk in the build-up was about Kieran Donaghy and how you deal with Kieran Donaghy. And in the end, Mayo didn't do anything to deal with Kieran Donaghy, and the game was over within 12, 15 minutes. In the build-up to the game, was there much talk about him?
From what I remember, no. No. We went out with our full back line, and we went out with our half back line, and that was whoever was there at number 3 was going to pick up Kieran, and it was David Heaney that was there. And like, if you go to yourself, like, David Heaney is 6'2", his physicality, he's played midfield the whole lot. So you're going, you know what, an ideal match. And you'd always go back, and you'd probably go back to the ball that was given into him was inch perfect, like for kick passers, and Dara was one of them, and Declan, them boys can, you know, when you're doing it week in week out at training and feeding the same man, it's the delivery is half the battle.
And the great thing about Star is that he doesn't have to get the high one as well. He's very good at showing out in front as well, and he's very good at dummy runs, so I mean he can win it any way he wants.
Yeah, and it didn't, it, look, it's, you say what didn't work right or what. We had, I think it was the week before the training camp. We're up in Johnstone House, and at the time there was so much. You put a lot into your training camps the week, the 10 days before in Ireland.
Mm.
But we were doing urine tests, and if it wasn't white, it wasn't right in our eyes. Your urine. Don't be looking at me funny. So that was a test. And again, there was a scientific.
Explain that.
So you'd
keep it clean.
You'd have your urine. You'd give a urine sample before training, and you would have it tested. There's a simple test. There's a litmus test where it says you're hydrated or you're not hydrated enough. And if you weren't hydrated, you weren't playing. But on the Sunday morning, like, and you think
you weren't
it,
training, is what you're saying. You weren't low training if you weren't.
Yeah, if you weren't fully hydrated.
And by that, was it again? Just to ensure that you hadn't been out the night before.
Oh Jesus! This is the week before the All Ireland. We're bad. But
you were just—he was saving on fatigue, so.
Yeah, but what happened was that we trained at 8:30 in the morning. Now, many a time I've got up in the morning since and gone, sure, how you're never hydrated.
Mm.
You're never hydrated in the morning, and I think we called off training.
I think that's just trying to be too clever, though. I mean,
it is. It is. Yeah, we had no real.
But training
versus B, it was. And I'm not saying it's an excuse, but you're going them kind of games are vital, because it's the only thing you're going to get. It's the only thing you'll do for the next 10 days.
But you're trying to time your game then as well. I mean, for 3:30 on a Sunday,
yeah,
or 3:30 on a Saturday, to replicate what's going to happen the following week.
Yeah.
I mean, 8:30 is an unusual. Even if you got 4 or 5 o'clock in the evening, get it somewhere right, because you try and replicate
get
what
up,
you're going to do.
Yeah,
get up. Eat
what are you
going to
do for 3 hours? You're going to do the same thing as you're going to do that following week, and that's the big thing. But no, we didn't focus on him specifically. We had a man that was fully capable, but the ball that came in and the way Donny was probably unmarkable on some of them occasions.
But did none of the senior players, and you would have been one of the more senior players, did none of the senior players have this out with management that this isn't the way to go?
Well, it was probably the way to go. Because
David Heaney would have been the perfect match.
You're going no, but in paper. Terms of the week before and the camp and things not been
the
perfect.
The way it transpired, you couldn't really say afterwards that it was. You know, the man says you can't. You know, you're not going to put any negative thoughts or negative vibes out there. And a lot of these times, it's only when you look back, you thought we were doing the right thing at the time, and we weren't hydrated, and we didn't have training session, and it was a vital part that was missing in the build up. But David Heaney would have been perfect. The reality is that Donny is half the time unmarkable. That's I don't care who you put in him. Like, he has the athletic ability, the handling skills.
But if he gets the ball, it's near impossible.
His awareness. Like, he has fed the Gooch, Donoghue, Geaney, like, from his hand. And they have built on it. But he's you know what, he's not, and people say, oh, there's so much talk about Donny and there's so much about this and that. Jesus, we'd be here till tomorrow morning if we talk about all the threats that Curry.
Were you not itching to get Adam ahead of that final?
I was, yeah. And again, as a man says, I've marked Darragh O'Shea, the best midfielder of generations. But you're going, there wasn't a chance any time he played me that he was going to get a ball. That was my attitude. And that's your attitude if you're a half-back, half-forward, or whatever. And then when I did come on, you're going, right, he's not going to get a ball.
Because I watched the semi-final, the Mill in the Hill and the comeback against Dublin that was on air during the week, and clearly it was so noticeable during that game, the impact the substitutes had. And then you look at the starting team for the 06 final, and most of those players who came off the bench and had an impact were back on the bench again.
Mm.
Was that a we need a strong team to finish the game type attitude, or was that a real source of frustration that you come on, you do so well, and you don't get the reward?
No, see, you got to go back to 2004 for me personally, and for a few of us. They're gone. 2004 was I didn't start, and I was starting all year, and I didn't start the final, and Fergal Kelly, who's a fine player and a good friend of mine still, started. But it knocked us for six, because you're going, like, previous to that, Fergal was a goalkeeper, sub goalkeeper, and now he's playing in our final midfield. And you say it took so much out of the team that I had the opposite. Like, I have to say, we played A versus B, and Fergal Kelly, man, says he hammered me. He caught balls in the clay. I wasn't going to bring that in 2 years later to say there's a negative mood or saying, Jesus, why is he not starting? I'm going, you know what, Patrick Hart was the man for me to start. I kind of said, right, you know what, I am more than happy to play my role and my part here in the team. And that's
it takes a kind of, I remember in 2000 we played Galway and Seamus Moynihan was playing full back, and he felt that he wasn't being utilised fully. I mean, Seamus Moynihan was probably the best footballer in the country, probably one of the greatest footballers of all times. But I remember he approached Paddy, but like that, what David's saying there is it takes a very strong character to approach the manager before a final, because number one, the manager's going to look at you and say, if you're more in your line now to concentrate in your game and concentrate in your own thing, let me handle this. But if something that big is bothering you, I remember Seamus went to Paddy at the time and said, look, I think I'm wasted inside full back, put me out the field. Like, how many fellas get away with saying that to a manager?
Yeah, and you definitely won't get away with it in Mayo, because
it's a hard call. Again, it takes a strong person, and most fellas will say, look, I'll deal with my own plot here and work away. And I said, well, I can see where you're coming from there. Who's going to put his hand up and say, listen, lads, you're doing this wrong?
Yeah, but it depends who you come up with. Like, for me personally, Martin Kearney was instrumental in a lot of our careers. He was our under 21 manager, but probably in 2000 we had Mickey and John, who were fantastic, but we didn't know them as people. We didn't know them growing up, you know. There were two men that are football diehards. But then you probably need some sort of experience, whether it's 10 years previous or 2 years previous, but how to approach someone like that. And you kind of, there was enough things we were trying to do in the background, never mind to try and do other things.
Go on.
I don't look at there was and I won't I won't there was I do know for a fact that David Heaney was captain, how he could have concentrated on the game, what he had on his plate, there was a lot of peculiar things going on, and it didn't benefit the team, didn't benefit certain individuals.
Like, it was tough enough to watch up in Hill 16 15 minutes in the way it was going. When you're sitting on the bench and you haven't got the nod to start, what was there any conversation amongst the players on the bench as it was all unravelling?
No, there wasn't. I think it was about 5 minutes I was starting to lace up my boots, because when you're a sub you have the boots nice and loose, you're just in a kind of a calm state, you're watching where what. I said right, the boots are to be laced, because you just know yourself we were sinking badly. But I'd say them, like, the ferocity and the tempo that was played. I've asked Dara before, you're probably going out and saying, and Jack, knowing Jack O'Connor, the manager he is, saying, I actually feel that you went for the juggler straight away and you felt there was a vulnerability there.
Well, we definitely went out. Like, you can only control the controllables, in my opinion, and you can control, what can you control by that? The pace of what you started, and we decided to go for it. Now, there was no plan about getting goals or anything like that, but we decided that we were going to really set the tempo early on, come out of the traps as quick as we could, and we were fired up. But I remember just at the time, we were just, to be fair to Pat Flanagan, who was doing the physical side of it at the time, we were coming in very good condition, and we were really kind of, it was a kind of a couple of year plan. So he started in 04, so he had told us in 04 that we would be peaking in September of 06. It was a good guess now.
For your plan.
Yeah, but he did say it at the time, to be fair to him, but it just, I'm just from a personal point of view, I you know the way you feel, like, that you can go on for 2 hours in this kind of a game, and we felt that I could feel it, and you can feel the energy in the dressing room, you could feel the energy in the bus, you could feel it on the pitch. And I knew then, you know, and it's a funny thing, Croke Park's a very lonely place, because if you, particularly, and I've been on both sides of it, I've been on the side, we'll say, if you're flat in Croke Park, and it happened to us against Meath in 2001, and it's flat and you're 5 minutes in and you're looking for your form and you're trying to say, what's going wrong here? Where can we stop? Where can we plug this hole? It's too late. It's about 2 hours too late. Mm-hmm. So if you don't, if you're not hitting the ground running at that when the ball is thrown in, and that, yes, you might get a few scores and you bring it back to some way, that, to be honest with you, it's going to be the longest 70 minutes of your life.
Mm. You have to set the tone as well. Like, I mean, every game you go into, the first couple of minutes are crucial for setting the tone. And you'll see that tomorrow as well. Yeah, exactly. Who's going to set the tone? And if it's one of the Kerry fillers goes out and drives in and gets a breaking ball and drives up the field, that sets the tone, gets the Kerry crowd into it. Likewise, Mayo, we'll be looking to do that. But definitely, no, six, I mean, that's the way we went out. That's the way I went out. I says, the first ball I get, I'm going to go at James Nally, just straight through him. Like, that's, you have to set the tone. And I think, you know, you'll definitely see that tomorrow. I think it's going to be huge, whoever sets the tone early, because Mayo might be a small bit vulnerable, you know, because they're still probably searching their form. The Roscommon game probably has left them
I think Mayo's form is a lot better than our form in so far as that they've, like, I mean, right, Roscommon were flat, but you look at Mayo's form compared to, I mean, I'd be way more concerned about our form against Galway. How many of our fellas played? If you were giving marks out of 10 for most of our fellas, you'd be averaging 6.
Yeah, you would, but I think itching. You're like 4 weeks, and sometimes you say to yourself, and you'd experience. I experience, especially you're going on a long, say, club stint where you're going week in, week out. You're going to the county final. You're going Connacht semi, Connacht final, and then all of a sudden it stops. I think Mayo have had that week in, week out. Will the two week break kind of stiffen them, and you know, are they going to be really, and they need to be, but are they really going to be itching to say, I'm actually hungry for a game? And you have to be hungry week in, week out. You're constantly hungry.
I prefer games. I always prefer games. They come in hot and heavy and you get more practice. You make mistakes, but at least you're momentum. Mm-hmm. The big gaps don't suit players because you're training. Like, the reality of it is, and this happens to a lot of teams, Dublin included, and Kerry, and I know it from Kerry, because you give 3 or 4 weeks, you can actually see a player coming into form and going out of form, mm-hmm. and not even seeing Croke Park.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate. Like, it's just the timing of it comes, and some fellas can leave their best football in Killarney or Castlebar or wherever the case may be, in Parnell Park, wherever the Dubs train, and that's unfortunate, but it's a reality.
And you know what, it's if you look at the Mayo, the way they've been going, and like getting to extra time, and they've went to the well, not to the well, but their conditioning, their fitness.
They're winning tight games.
Yeah, and Donny Buckley's the one common denominator over the last 6 years. Like them, how are you going? How did it still go?
They don't look at the clock. They don't look at the scoreboard. They just keep swinging.
And he has them ticking. And it's a credit to him.
But I don't think I think it's been overplayed a small bit, you know, whether it's better after we playing games or to be resting, because both groups are so experienced. I mean, they've a lot of big games played, and you know, there's a lot of experienced players on both sides, and both managements have been there now for a couple of years as well. So I think, you know, it'll come down to really on the day who's going to win up the matchups, really. Who's going to pick the manager, who's going to pick the team in terms of going out and expressing yourself rather than trying to contain the other team. I think that's a big danger. Mayo, I was in Mayo for a couple of days, and I know we said it already, but Jesus, people are obsessed with Kieran Donaghy back there, and you know, I think it's a worry if that's the mindset that Mayo have come in to really nullify Kieran, because Kieran is a real team player. Like, so he'll have no problem occupying Lee Keegan for 60 minutes and not touching the ball if that means James O'Donoghue or Paul Gainey are doing damage in the corner. So I think, you know, the tone the manager set from how they line out their teams, mm-hmm. will have a big bearing.
And you could see it from the Roscommon game, really, too, that probably Roscommon focused a lot on Aidan O'Shea. Mm. But by just the amount of space he left, and he knew everyone was falling on him, and he left acres of space in behind him for the likes of Lee Keegan to run up the middle and Keith Higgins. There was oceans of space, because he said, you know what, if there is that much focus and that much attention on me, I'll take it with me and leave room for else. And you said Kieran is a team player. But you know, it won't end up like that. It won't be a one man focus. But they are infatuated with with Star down the
with good reason.
I think midfield is you said it before. I mean, midfield is crucial for both sides, because I mean, it's the old cliche. But why is it crucial? Well, it's crucial because, I mean, if you don't get a fair shake in the middle of the field, if you don't get a fair shake in the middle of the field, you're looking at Lee Keegan and the boys bombing up the field, Donald Vaughan, all these guys coming up the field at will, with twos and threes, you give Keith Higgins a chance, he'll come up the field as well. That's exactly what they want to do. Put James O'Donoghue, put Paul Gainey, put Kieran Dunne in the back foot. You need midfield. They need a steady supply of ball to keep all these fellas occupied and to keep them on the back foot. Likewise, Killian O'Connor's on fire. I thought Diarmaid O'Connor caught a bit of fire the last day in the second half. They all played well. So like they'll want it as well. So the positioning of Aidan O'Shea, I think, whether it's at midfield, centre forward or full forward, would be crucial for Mayo and crucial to get scores as well.
Just one last thing on Donaghy. If you're aiming Fitzmaurice, do you feed the frenzy in the first 5-6 minutes of the game? Do you say, why not just lump everything in on top of him? If it works,
no.
Brilliant. If he gets the few scores, brilliant. If he gets the few scores,
the biggest strength that Donny has, I mean, you go back to even his first year in 06 when he was a greenhorn. I mean, he was there and he was getting pulled and pushed by Francie Bellew all over the shop. Then he waited for about 30, 40 minutes into the game, got a chance, got a goal. He will be able to wait.
2014 he did as well.
Five or six balls could go wrong with him. His temperament is such that he will hold his head. You can throw him, you could have him on 60 minutes into the game and say, every ball has gone wrong here. Is he worth another ball? He is.
He doesn't judge himself in scores, to be fair to him. He doesn't look at the paper the day after to see what he's after his name.
He wouldn't want to. And I know he's not listening, so...
I'll throw him this podcast on Monday.
Monday's okay, he won't catch me on Monday.
What we might do is, while we move on from Kieran Donaghy and we move on from O6 and we look a bit more at tomorrow's game, we might take a quick break, but it is still Swansea 0, Manchester United 1 at the Liberty Stadium. There are 15 minutes remaining there, and in our auction for the signed Conor McGregor boxing glove, the current bid is at €600. If you are bidding, stay by your phone so we can confirm the bids. 53106 is the text number. It's all in aid of Down Syndrome Ireland, so do get your bids in. €600 is the current bid. We have Darragh O'Shea, we have Declan O'Sullivan and David Brady with us in studio. We're building up to Mayo against Kerry. We're back with our Saturday panel in a moment.
Off the ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.
Welcome back. 53106 is the text number for our Saturday panel. All our GAA on News Talk is with thanks to Bord Gáis Energy, proud sponsor of the GAA Hurling Under 21 Championship, bringing customers closer to the action at bgerewards.ie. Still 1-0 to Manchester United against Swansea, 10 minutes remaining at the Liberty Stadium. We'll be checking in with Kevin Kilbane a little bit later on from that game. But we're joined in studio. We're outnumbered. We have two Kerry legends, just the one Mayo legend with us. David Brady is here. I don't like to count myself in these arguments.
If it starts, I'll Nancy's, you take O'Shea and I'll take O'Sullivan. I've been born to pick on O'Sullivan for the last 3 years.
What did I ever do to you? Romelu Lukaku just made it 2-0 to Manchester United against Swansea. A Facebook comment from Brian Duddy: would David Brady get in the current Mayo team?
No.
You wouldn't get a spot in around midfield?
I wouldn't, no.
Go on, lad. Someone bail him out there.
I think he would. I think any team needs personalities. David was always a huge personality in any of the games he played. David came on in 06 and he took the fight. He was physically against the Dubs as well. I think that kind of a personality you can't do without, whether it's in the dressing room, whether it's there. I would say that David would make that Mayo team.
Do you know what the problem with me is? The tracking device in the back of my neck. You'd be going right. I'm going to score. My mind was very strong.
Hard to fool that one, isn't it?
Yeah, and you'd be going. Oh, I could just imagine John Mahan going, DB, did the battery go? with them satellite trackers now, you'd be going, jeez, there's nowhere to hide.
Did John Mahan have them?
John had trackers all over the shop, but not in the back of our pants or down our jerseys or whatever. But it's a different world. It's a different world now, and it's, you kind of say to yourself, what is it going to be in 10 years' time?
Yeah,
like how much further can they go?
I think they're pushing it just beyond. I think like it's fellas are at their limit now. When I say limit, I mean it's coming down to the stage where guys are making decisions based on, you know, education and stuff. I mean, if you want to be an inter county footballer, look at the harder courses, be a doctor, be it, you know, high end. We'll say if you wanted to be an engineer, or the heavy study loads. Can you do it being an inter county footballer? I don't think you can.
Not a chance. And it's it's a big decision in life to make when you're 20, 21 years of age. That's when you make it. You don't make it when you're 28. That's when you're at your peak. You've gone through the process for 7 or 8 years, and
it's a far easier decision to make when you're from Kerry, though.
Tis probably a little. Man, you have a nice soft job down there, reliever. You were telling me.
Yeah, I mean,
they pay you big money, and you travel all over the world.
I wish. But I think, look, it depends really what you're talking about. I think in Kerry, I think we've always got the balance right in terms of training and stuff like that. You hear some horror stories, and typically it's the weaker teams that you hear all these stories from, training, you know, just 5 or 6 times a week and all this type of stuff. But I think it's like anything in life, you have to keep a bit of balance to it. But to be honest, I think the way the football is going at the moment as well, though, is that, you know, there is room for that experience, guys. You know, when we were playing, it was 100% flat out. It's come very much team orientated now, where zone defending, I mean, the blanket defence, there really is a spot there for an experienced guy to pull the strings and to keep the ball moving and stuff like that. So I think, you know, people say the fitness has gone out of control in many ways, but the game itself, I think, has become slowed down in many ways because of this lot of the onus on defending.
Methodical.
Yeah, absolutely. Going over and back, lateral passing. You know, you need that experienced guy who's going to remain cool and see a pass and that type of stuff. So, and I spoke to this when Paul was thinking of coming back. I was saying, you'll enjoy it when you go back there, because if you're that experienced guy who can see a pass and can remain calm, you'll actually enjoy the football, I would say. So
you sort of moved into that role for the last couple of years.
I know that choice, I think. But you can't move, but you had to adapt, really. But I did, and I enjoyed it. And I think, you know, you often see players probably stepping away a bit too early from inter-county football, because there is this perception out there that it's a young man's game. But I think, you know, Dublin and even Kerry, you see Kieran Donaghy staying on, and he's reaping the rewards of that, because he's using his head as well as much as anything else. So I think there is a role for that.
28 years of age is the average for the Mayo team, 27.2 for the Korean team, you know. So when you put it like that, you're going, you know, that's
it's very hard for a young guy. You said Donegal this year, they had a great league campaign and brought all these under 21s through, but for the championship then it just didn't work. And you see, like, Eamon sometimes gets criticism for not bringing on the successful minor teams for the last couple of years with Kerry, but the reality is that they're not able for it yet. So you know, there's a bit of a misconception there when they say it's a young men's game.
3 goals in as many minutes for Manchester United. They now lead Swansea by 4-0, just 5 minutes remaining at the Liberty Stadium. Anthony Martial with the 4th, Paul Pogba with the 3rd, so it looks like it's going to be a second consecutive 4-0 win for United to start the season. Frank Sheridan on Facebook: Dunica Walsh, a big loss tomorrow, makes it a 50-50 game. Of any game, of any time of the season that you don't want Dunica Walsh to be missing, this is it, against a hard-running Mayo team. You would have thought this was the game that he is perfectly suited to.
A lot of people, you have to really look at Dunica and follow him during the course of the game to see what he does. I mean, Dunica stays high up the field, but if you're marking Dunica toe-to-toe with Dunica, and we were talking off-air, David was talking about this tracking thing, like Dunica's putting up 13-14 KMs per game, awesome, and he's coming off with about 10 minutes to go in each game. And the point being is that where Dunica really gives you an outlet is that Dunica's runs, he runs across the forward line, he never comes too deep. Sometimes he just kind of gives you an outlet when you're really under pressure and you want someone to run for you. Dunica's running across the 45, you know, he's running across that middle, he's giving you an outlet, and he's always showing for the ball, he's constantly showing for the ball, which gives Kerry a big outlet. And it's hard to replace that kind of workload, because it's unknown. I mean, the workload he does, there's a reason why Eamon Fitzmaurice, he wouldn't be the biggest scorer, he wouldn't be, you know, he doesn't come in, he's not a flamboyant player, but obviously Declan played with him longer than I did, he does bring a lot to the table, and he's very underrated, I think, and I think he will be a big loss tomorrow.
And then the other thing about him, like, he's so experienced, you can really count on him. Like, he's a very level-headed guy, and you know he'll perform on the biggest of days. And that's what it'll come down to tomorrow, I think. You know, there'll be so much emphasis on some of the big matchups, but it's the lesser-known guys, you know, that the likes of the Mikey Ganeys, the Mark Griffins, the Tadhg Morleys from the Kerry side, the Brendan Harrisons, you know, Jason Dohertys of the Mayo side. You know, they're the type of fellas that you know, you look to perform, and Dunica would be a guaranteed performer tomorrow for Kerry. That's how we would look at it. Now, Stephen O'Brien has been playing excellent, and he adds a bit of pace to the half-hour line. So the actual, how it's transpired, the actual mix in the half-hour line isn't bad, really, with that pace from Stephen O'Brien. So, you know, has been offset.
To see him coming in, though. He was just working better for a no. He'd probably like to start himself like anybody, but just from a selfish Kerry point of view, it was working better from a Kerry point of view, him coming on, because he was bringing a bit of...
Yeah, you'd hope Darren Sullivan now maybe might get that opportunity to come on and make the impact with 20 minutes to go.
The full forward line is just of the highest quality, of Ganey and O'Donoghue either side of Donaghy, But looking at the way Mayo play, and with probably four or five halfbacks almost within their back group bursting forward from inside their own half, Michael Gainey, Johnny Buckley, Stephen O'Brien, how comfortable are they going the other way of having to spend most of the time tracking runs?
Well, I would say again, like, Kerry won't want a situation where it's one on one, Stephen O'Brien chasing down the wing on his opposite marker. They look to probably hold their shape quite well in the half back line to make sure that there's no free space for runners to run in behind. And I think it'll be more a team defence type thing where they're a bit more zonal, and it won't be one guy chasing 30-40 yards on, because that's not sustainable over 70 minutes in Croke Park. So I think it's not a huge issue as far as I'd be concerned. I think it's more Kerry holding their shape and being in position to meet the runners when they're coming through, because that's been their problem so far against Cork and against Galway. They haven't been in position to stop the runners, and we've concede a lot of goal chances in the last couple of games. So I think probably more than anything going into this game, Eamon will want a real strong half back line, and probably put Anthony Maher probably starting would naturally tend to drop into that pocket there as well around the centre back as well, to give added protection to the half back line and that bit of strength for tackling and to stop the runner. So I think that's a big part in starting Anthony Maher.
Yeah, as part of it as well from your own kickouts, that as much as Mayo are going to run at you, if you've got David Moran and Anthony Maher there, you're expecting to win the vast majority of ball.
Completely, and the way the football has gone, I think most teams now have decided that they're going to push up in the short kickouts, because again, especially in Croke Park, you're going to do a lot of chasing if you're giving up possession. So Kerry certainly will want the Mayo kickout going out in the middle of the field, and they'll fancy their chances to win a lot of primary possession with David Moran. We know what David Moran did down in Limerick. I think he had 42 or 3 possessions during that game, and again, Anthony Maher would be seen as a better fielder than Jack Barry, so I think they'll definitely want to put it out the middle.
Does that then put a doubt in Stephen Rochford's head as to whether he wants the Mayo players pushing right up on Brian Kelly's kickouts?
See, the reality is, if Im Fitzmaurice is tactical guy, I think he's top class as well. That if you're pushing up so much, you're leaving yourself a vulnerability at the back, especially when you have the Mahers and Moorns of this world in midfield as well. The key thing again, and we're talking about it now, this subject is 60% of Mayo's kickouts have went short. In every single game. Now they played 7 games, so that's 60% in total have went short. Kerry have only allowed in the 3 games 35%. So something's going to give.
Kerry won't leave the short kick out. Absolutely not. I think Eamon's philosophy with that forward line is to really put the squeeze on.
Yeah. And you can talk about how good Gainey is and how good O'Donoghue is and Donny. What they're very good at is working and cutting out space for short kickouts. And that's the bread and butter of your forward line, but they're very good at it.
Kerry's team was picked last night, and obviously Mayo's team was, was named as well, but what you're looking at is both Stephen Rochford and Eamon Fitzmaurice have their plan made at this stage, and the personnel, like the goalies in both sides, won't change.
No.
So you know the kickouts are going to come. Within reason, I know, but like David said, there's a kind of a routine there. So I don't think it's going to you allow for different things, we'll say, different changes. I mean, if it's Morris, they'll say, right, if we push up in the kickout, what will they do then? Will they go along? Will they drop Aidan O'Shea? You'll make provisions for different scenarios that will happen and all that, but there's only so much you can do in that regard. So, like, if it's Morris has picked both, I agree with Dave. Jack Barry has grown on me. I think Jack Barry is a top-class young player. Probably would have started. Again, we're not privy to what's going on inside there. But I think what more so than what Declan said, he's very good in the air, Anthony Maher, which he is. But he's a better kicker. Anthony Maher's kicking is probably nearly better than David Moran's. His strike rate and into ball to hand is more accurate, which is, I suppose, is a kind of like what you said with the Mayo backs dropping back in front of our guys. You're looking to ball to hand as opposed to this kind of any kind of a chance.
And especially if it's wet as well, it puts a premium on accuracy.
He's a kind of a quarterback of a kicker. Yeah,
it's promised bad, and the weather is from half one onwards is promised torrential rain, and that's going to have
the goalkeepers aren't going like that if they're going short, Croke Park.
I tell you what, news talk getting bang for their buck. There's no need for weather reports now. We've all come. You're getting something. You're getting sports weather the whole
time. We might as well talk about Brexit now.
Jesus.
But it is going to be massive. And in our day, remember, you'd catch a ball, you'd be smothered. I think the mark has brought a whole new dimension because it opens up and teams are doing it at training.
Well, thank you, Dave, because I was on that committee that actually brought that rule in, so thank you very much and I appreciate the compliment.
If you could put it in writing. You
I'll email it to your secretary. But it has, and even Mayo are excellent at it, because there's a situation and there's a setup and a template. If someone does catch it, and what happened for Lee Keegan was a prime example of it, he knew that the midfielder wasn't going to be surrounded because you have to stand back 15 yards, and he took his chance and bang, he was gone and he was in behind. Mm. And it was from America, and there, that's brought a whole new dimension to the game, because
Keith Phil is honest.
Yeah, but it opens up the game. You don't have this four or five what we call a swarm.
But the beauty of the mark, I think, is that if fellas actually take the mark but then slip it, I think
you have, know, the option.
Yeah, I think the one to keep do, especially if yeah. if it's a wet ball, is to keep it moving then, because you still have to move back. You know,
you still have to be away
10 meters away, so that gives you that breathing space to run into. So I think
it's huge pressure on keepers.
Yeah,
it's huge pressure. Like his keeper, like the poor Ross Common for the last year, like he was in a tailspin, like he just couldn't get it right. And it was he was the guy that was getting the blame for it.
Yeah.
But ultimately it was the guys out the field. You have to isolate yourself, and Mayo did so well in cutting that out, like, and it'll be interesting tomorrow, particularly like you say, David, if it's a wet ball.
Would Brian Kelly, he I thought he struggled at times.
Yeah, but you know, funny like, and it's this is something that I think it will be relevant tomorrow, like, and people, we've been speaking about the technicalities yeah. of these long balls and whatnot, but realistically, like, you know what still works is this long ball that you say, right, is there anything else on, just hoof it. And like, why does that work? Because number one, every fella so coached so tightly at the moment that I remember it was at last year against Galway, Galway played Roscommon last year, and the goalie came out, and it was one of the goals, the best goals of the year. Roscommon, the goalie came out and He sold it out to the 45. It was up in, I think it was in, was it in, where was it on? Was it in the Hyde Park?
It was the Hyde Park, the first game.
The first game, yeah. Last year. And he sold the ball out, and he was out in his own 45, and he panicked, and he hoofed it about 60 yards up in the air. Roscommon backs didn't know what to do with this ball, because they weren't used to, this wasn't part of the plan.
Mm.
They couldn't handle it, bounced in, two kicks, and a goal. You now, don't tell me for the life of me that was rehearsed, because the goalie didn't know where.
Yeah.
He just let fly. The point I'm making here is, it's not that complicated. You can overcoach this thing, and you can over, and when things are going wrong, like the Roscommon goalkeeper in a case in point the last day, when that was going wrong, badly wrong from the last day, what do you do? Compose yourself, right? Get somewhere where there's a couple of bodies around the place there, and take your chances with it.
Yeah.
But trying to go over kicking balls, banging balls over the sideline won't work in this situation. Compose yourself and put it out between two fellas. It's not your fault if your man can't win it out in the field then.
Three passes. I don't know how much the stat was in the Munster final. The amount of three touches that Curry had, and they got a score. And that is a trademark of this team. They are willing to go bang bang and over. They're
trust
looking
it,
to transfer
it, and it's a simple game. If you still do that, like, I mean, the posts haven't, the size of the posts haven't changed, the distance, the size, the dimensions of the pitch haven't changed.
It will be fascinating, though. I think there will be a kind of contrast in styles. Like Kerry, like you say, will look to kick it, and especially with Anthony Maher there. But I think Mayo have probably drifted away from that kicking game the last, especially the replay against Roscommon. They've seemed to have gone back to this running game, and even with Killian O'Connor and Andy Moore inside in the full forward, and they're not, you know, blistering pace, so they kind of come around in the loop. So I think, you know, it'll be fascinating to see how the contrast of styles play.
Some teams are afraid to kick the ball because of the, if you give the ball away, the downturn and that, how many fellas are chasing back, how much energy are you losing to win that ball back, and then as a result you see fellas, they look up and they go backwards, and
that's the problem with stats.
The reality is you'd rather lose it on Mance's 50 yards up the pitch than
absolutely,
20 yards from your own goal, and that's part of it. But and again, it is all stats.
But some teams get obsessed with stats, and players get it, and it's all about individual stats. You get this feedback the following week about how many possessions you had, how many times you kicked the ball, how many times you hand passed it, how many times you gave it away. And there's no feel to the game. I think a fella should be given some bit of license to play it as he sees it out in the field. And
I've seen it in some of the Mayo substitutes. It's come on, and you're going, you don't have to pull the trigger. As much as a simple 5 yard fist pass means, you know what, I've got a touch,
keep
I'm in the game,
yeah.
There's 7 minutes left, 8 minutes left.
It was like David Murphy when we were there. Jack O'Connor said to us one time about kickouts, we had to get a kind of a system going with the kickouts, and David Murphy was there, and he says Jack came over and I was there with Tommy Griffin. The four of us were there, and Jack said, "Look, lads, sort it out amongst yourselves. Get your kickouts right." So we were there anyway, and Jack walked away. So we were sorting it out. Morph said, "Look, lads, it's great. Jack, it's great, and all that. You know what's going to happen? This has gone 70 yards from my goal. Up to yourselves to catch this." But the beauty of it was that any team that we were playing, if they were spending any bit of time wasting their time trying to figure out where the ball was going, because we didn't know ourselves where it was going. God help the opposition.
They weren't good.
What a code breaker for that one.
One of the highlights of the 2014 games was the battle between Keith Higgins and James O'Donoghue, where it seemed 50-50, even though James O'Donoghue managed to rack up a big score. Billy Joe Padden was saying during the week that he'd like to see maybe Chris Barrett go back and mark O'Donoghue and give Keith Higgins the sort of freedom he had, maybe put him in the sweeper role, maybe put him in just in front of Vaughan, in front of Donoghue as well, but giving him the freedom to get forward again. Who do you see picking up O'Donoghue and Gainey?
I'd have 100% faith. I think he's a fantastic cornerback, as Brendan Harrison. I would put him on Gainey. And at the end of the day, this is it's a very simple. And we're talking, football has gone so technical. You're going, if O'Donoghue is hot, switch Harrison over. That's a simple move, because
is Harrison their number one go-to guy now?
I think he's quite good over his head, so I think they'll match him with Gainey.
Look at every game last year, Sean Kavanagh, Michael Quinlan, all the number ones. The opposition was Lee Keegan.
Yeah.
I just going back to what you said there, the James O'Donoghue. I thought Keith Higgins actually on the same night in Limerick that night, I thought was the best defensive play display. I thought James O'Donoghue was lucky to get man of the match the same night. I would have given it to David Moore the same night, but it looked James O'Donoghue did well. But I just get his exhibition of defending that night.
It was.
The blocks he made were
phenomenal. But you know what? He was on his own for too much of the time. I thought.
That it was the last kind of one-to-one performance, we'll say, where you saw it was man-to-man, yeah. So it was great. It was excellent.
If you're willing to gamble and going man-to-man, especially the way O'Donoghue was, you're going, you know what? That's a lovely spectacle, and it was great.
Chancy.
But you're chancing it. And I think for the first time tomorrow that we might see Mayo playing a double sweeper. Like, we have been in so many combinations between, like, 12 months ago, Keith Higgins was corner forward. Then he went to the half. Then he went to corner.
Midfield.
Then he went, he went sweeping. Kevin McLaughlin was the out and out sweeper, number one for Mayo last year for a long period of time. And there are lots of options, but I think that it would be an opportunity. And you're going, yes, you want them going forward at certain times, certain places, and in certain situations. But I think Mayo could play a double sweeper tomorrow.
But do you think I wouldn't see them putting Keith Higgins back in James O'Donoghue?
No.
I think Barrett's having
a good time.
After the way he played against Roscommon, it would be a shame to put him back.
I think Keith has lost a certain amount of his speed, but not going forward, not going direct. I don't think his speed is there and is still there. The fact that he hasn't got the opportunity to do it, he did the last year for the first time in months.
Mm. So just the speed and turning, the sort of speed you need for man marking.
Yeah. I think Colin Boyle is playing very, very well. Playing very well for Mayo this year, even though he was unlucky enough not to start one or two games, which was kind of mind-boggling to a degree. But I'd have no problem on Chris Barrett and James O'Donoghue. You can't question O'Donoghue, but...
overrated off, says Joe Brawley.
Come on, will you stop? And didn't Martin McHugh call the coach a two-trick pony once? Hey, look at boys, the coach not been there too. Like, it's hard to believe. You think he's gone for the last 10 years, but you know.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of scope between Paul Gainey and James. I thought against Galway, didn't think they fired at all. I think Donoghue got him out of a hole in that game, because I think James was carrying an injury apparently into the game, but at the same time, huge scope for improvement by James based on his Munster final performance, and Paul as well. Paul was quite poor, I thought, the last day as well, by his own standards, and you're only judged by your own standards.
Yeah. That would give you hope as a Kerry man going into it, because you know their personality, like, you know, Paul Gainey especially, you know, he will really, really want to put in performance, you know. So I would expect them to come all guns blazing, really. But I think if Mayo start playing double sweepers, I think it's, you know, it's really playing into Kerry's hands.
Why would it be?
It's the mindset thing, David. I mean, you know, they're going to go into their shell, and Kerry are going to play that waiting game, the experience. They're not going to panic. I think Mayo have to come, you know, all guns blazing, really go after Kerry.
Have they done it in any of the big games? I've said it, the analogy. If they were boxers, they'd go 12 rounds with anyone in the world. And that's the way they've been set up, and that's the way they play. It's kind of, there's no big punches being landed. It's like pow pow, and you're just going back and retreating. They're playing, they are playing a very defensive game. They have Dermot O'Connor that spends too much of his time, but it's part of the
in Limerick actually the Mikey Ganey was wing forward as well, and they actually, you know, left him to his own devices a bit, and you could see maybe Colin Boyle leaving him, Mikey yeah. Ganey drift a bit, and him playing not a full time sweeper but being a bit more conservative.
I
could see that happening, and maybe one of the midfielders maybe drop him back as well. But I think if they're going to plant two fellas back there and full time, I think that would play into Kerry's hands.
I think Darry, I know you got to run. You've been very patient with us. Are we all going down county lines in terms of predictions? We'll leave the two Kerry boys to build up Mayo for another little while.
Spencer's, so look at them, two of them smiling there like Cheshire cats.
Let Darry go first.
Go on, Darry.
I said during the week that I think we didn't have the up-to-date weather report that David has at the moment. But we're after getting it live here now. But I think I'm going to stick with it. I think it's going to be tight. I think Mayo have shown throughout the year that they're for the long haul. They'll be there at the very end. I think if Kerry can get their matchups right, and like Declan said earlier, if they come in with that bit of ferocity, I think Kerry can sneak it by 3 or 4 points.
Declan?
Yeah, I think obviously you'd be hoping Kerry can get the victory. I think it's going to be close. I think it's going to be, you know, kind of a tactical enough affair. And especially, I think, with this Mayo group, you know, they've been on the road a while. They're not going to go down without a fight. And this is possibly their real last chance, and they'll see it like that. So they're going to fight the bitter end. But I would hope that Kerry would have that bit of class up front. And even off the bench, I think Kerry's bench is probably a bit stronger than Mayo. So I would go 2 or 3 points.
DB?
That's very two good opinions. I can't go against. But the reality is that I do think that this Mayo team have got been in the back door. If Mayo weren't in the back door, I don't think they would be able to, because they've sorted out a lot of things. They've changed a lot of things, and I do think the form. That, and we're talking about the Donahue's and the form that Lee Keegan is in, the form that Aidan O'Shea is in, the form that Kenyon O'Connor is in, the way that David Clark is playing and the way that Brendan Harrison is playing, you're going, I think them 5 or 6 players are capable of bringing everyone else on. Not that 2014 still when you held one of the Mayo boys for about, I think it was like 3.5 minutes, you held the waterman, the bull had to come on against you. So I don't think that the Curry, as I call them, the dogs, the Marks, the Tomas, the Declan, the man says that bit of experience is lacking. As much as they have, I just think that Mayo have learned from the past, and I think it's you know what, we could be back there next Saturday.
Oh dear God, maybe here we go again.
Limerick,
there's not a chance we're going to win. You know what, you can go
the
into the final.
The bull is still bad, is he?
No, the bull is back.
He's back.
I tried to get him up here today when I heard that it was 2-1, but he's en route.
He's
in the
still
train.
Down in security, I think. Darrell O'Shea, Declan O'Sullivan, David Brady, thanks as always, and we're going to head to the Liberty Stadium, talk to Kevin Kilbane after this.
Off the Ball on News Talk. Thanks to Air. Catch all the sports you love free on the Air Sport Pack with Air Broadband.